This is Rafflebix After Hours.
You actually heard the whole of the intro, because I didn't talk over that little fade out at the end. Welcome! Episode 117 of the Rack Addicts After Hours podcast. And we are back to After Hours, as we were last week. Non-caffeinated, though hyper I may be. Pete and Ben are here in your ears today. Thank you for tuning in. Firstly, Pete, what have you been doing this past 7 days?
Has it been 7 days?
I've no idea.
Was it
a Tuesday?
I thought we had a late one. Was it late last?
See, we're so confused. We've got no idea what we did. Either way.
I just can't remember.
We got to catch up.
It was a late one the other week, or was it last week, the week before, when we did a Thursday?
Time is meaningless.
Tuesday. Anyway, what have I been doing for the last 7 days? Well, I've been trying to enjoy the spring taster, shall we say, or the taster of the weather you could have if you lived in the Mediterranean, and then before it was withdrawn rapidly, as it has been.
Yes,
so, mundane stuff, really. I've been attacking the garden.
I'm not
a fan of gardening, put it that way.
No.
It's just something that needs to be done before the Triffids envelop the house and take over. So I have been frantically hacking and burning and thrashing my way around, and I've managed to get there before the weather closed back in and winter sort of descends just as British summertime was declared.
And now Return of the Giant Hogweeds is in my head.
Really?
That's your fault.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have you actually ever seen a real one in real life?
I think so. It was pointed out to me once, because they can give you a pretty rubbish-like skin thing.
Oh, yeah.
Can't they?
Don't think that it's curable. Possibly when you get a really nasty burn, I think it's possibly for life. I know they're really dangerous.
Yeah. I think it was on a little boardwalky thing in a little fen somewhere out in nature. And then my dad just started singing. And I go, what are you doing? And he points, it's the return of the giant hogweed. And there we go.
Was it massive? Was it
really tall,
big?
Like 10 foot tall.
Yeah,
really,
I think they
really
can go 15, maybe plus that.
Scary stuff.
I don't know if I've actually seen one. I've seen the sort of relatives of it, because it's I can't remember what it is. Is it cow parsley or something like that?
Yeah, something similar. I'm not too sure.
From, what does the song say? It's from the Himalayas or something?
The Russian hills.
I knew it was far away.
A Victorian explorer found it, apparently. Found the regal hogweed by a marsh. I'm not going to keep doing it.
I mean, what possesses these Victorian people to bring back all these alien species? I suppose it was just curiosity.
Probably.
But it's
colonialism. Yeah.
I mean, how did they even handle it? I mean, it's thick gloves, I would imagine.
Or they handled it and then suffered.
Yeah, found out how. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how swift it
there
might be.
There are many, many pictures on the internet of people who have unfortunately tangled with the aforementioned giant hogweed, and you can see the...
I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah, have a look. I think you'll be shocked.
Because I've just heard Heraculeum mantegatianum, apparently. Okay, what can we find out on this gardening episode of Rack Addicts After Hours? The cartwheel flower, giant cow parsley, giant cow parsnip, or hogsbane. Right, oh yeah, so the white flowers, I can see them there. Oh, it's the sap, which is phototoxic, apparently. Blisters and scars. Serious reactions. Okay, let's see how accurate Peter Gabriel was, shall we? The introduction was first recorded in Great Britain in 1817, when it was put on the seed list at Kew Gardens. Well, other than it's native to the Caucasus regions of Eurasia, I don't know what that means. It's from Europe and Asia-ish.
Caucasus, that's Russia.
Gotcha. A phototoxic reaction can begin as soon as 15 minutes after contact with the sap.
Any photographs of the...
Yep, I ignored those.
Really, they're that bad?
Unpleasant, but not the worst.
I've seen some really bad ones.
In popular culture, yep, nursery crime is at the top of the list. The darkly humorous lyrics, apparently. Yes, there we are. Now we know. Giant hogweed for you.
Well,
everybody.
Anyway, there was nothing that offensive in my garden apart from the odd bramble.
Dangerous stuff.
What's your week been like then?
Not too bad, actually. I've been working from home with a new solution. Since I don't have Adobe products on my laptop anymore, because I'm not going to pay £30 a month for it, I've been using Parsec to remote in to the work computer, which has been amazing, actually. So I'm just working on an iMac, remoting over to a Windows computer, which is a strange experience. But it's amazing, because now I have functional internet. What a luxury. It's been smooth, just editing away. It's nice.
You know what this means?
No.
We can do, if required, remote podcasting again.
Yes, yes. I will have to rig up a duvet like I did that one time because it is very echoey in the new place.
Well, we can do those acoustic panels that we've discussed so often.
Yes, I'll need to find suitable fabrics because there's a lot of blank wall and I think it would look quite nice. Some subtle panels, evenly spaced.
Yeah, I think if it's done tastefully, would you get away with having a cloud or is that pushing it too far?
Could be tricky, but I could work on it over a few months. Yeah. You won't notice it's there. We do have kind of high ceilings for some reason. They seem higher than normal.
You were saying it's a new build.
It is.
That's quite unusual to have high ceilings in something so modern.
It might just be because it is emptier and it just feels bigger. I have no idea. It could be, you know, we mentioned last week the kind of architecture shows on YouTube that we like watching, and they'll say things like they've put a mirror there to simulate the continuation of the space or something stupid, and they say, oh, curved lines to make the roof disappear, or maybe it's a sort of a visual trickery of some kind. I don't know.
So you've got to feng shui the place.
It has been arranged already, so only time will tell if there are negative results of the improper energy flow something.
Do you get involved in that at all, or is that all down to your other half?
No, we kind of... Well, there's not enough room to be artistic about it. It was more practical. So the TV goes on that side because the sun will hit the other wall, and the sofa's on the other side because we need to look at the TV. And the cats might like that corner because they can see out the balcony. It's all practical.
How are the cats taking to their new environment as their indoor cats?
I would say we've been 85% forgiven from ripping them out of their previous home.
So what about the other 15%?
Yeah, they kind of hide a lot. And the old, you try and pet them or something, and then they just kind of walk away and stand with their back to you, that kind of thing.
Well, that sort of indifferent kind of...
the classic.
Yeah.
Although today, there was a momentous occasion. One of them, called Miso, likes to get in the way of my partner while she's working on her laptop and will just be, you know, walking backwards and forwards and tail everywhere.
The tail in the face, so to speak.
The classic. And that hadn't happened for a couple of weeks, but it happened again today. So we're making progress.
Give it another week or so and they'll be right at home.
Right as rain. Other things, I went to another live show, this time in Birmingham, Town Hall. Decent venue, I would say. I've been there before. This was for Aurora, an artist from Norway who I quite like. But I want to talk about the Support Act, and I will recommend the Support Act later. I think it was the Support Act anyway. It could have been Aurora. I can't remember. I'm rambling. I saw a Hydrosynth on stage.
I see.
It was quite exciting. It was the big one.
Really?
What are they called? Because there's a 61 and then there's the bigger one that you want. Gigantor.
It's called the Hydrosynth Deluxe.
Ah, lovely. I couldn't quite tell from midway on the floor whether it was the 70-something key or the 61, but it was there. And I think I might have heard it doing its thing. There was a laptop propped up on top of it as well, so I assume main stage happened.
If there's a laptop on it, it's definitely the deluxe, because it's actually got a little bracket that you can attach to the back to actually place your laptop on.
Well,
or
there we go.
Anything else that you feel that you need to place on a flat surface.
Perfect. Well, we've seen one in action, and that's pretty cool. It's a bit annoying sometimes when you go to gigs and you see some boring Studio Logic SL88 with a laptop on it. Not that that's a bad setup, but we're nerds. We want to see, ooh, what synthesizers are they running? Not what virtual instruments they're using for it. I'm trying to think. When I saw Genesis, there was the classic selection, including a controller that you sold, the man himself, the old Tony Banks.
88.
The Roland.
The Roland A88 MIDI keyboard.
Yeah, he bought two, so I assume one was a spare or something.
I don't know.
What else? Korg Oasis he was using, which doesn't exactly get the nerd senses tingling, but it's nice when there's actual synthesizer on show. I'm trying to think the last time I actually saw proper synthy goodness on a stage. Probably at a ModCaf, but aside from that... Nils Fram. He brings a good selection of vintage stuff, including touring with a pipe organ, which is weird.
On that Genesis subject, I note that they did their last concert of their world tour and Phil Collins' very last concert.
That's what he says. It's all over and done. And to be honest, it probably is, just seeing how frail he is.
It is shocking seeing someone that you've not known personally, but followed their career, so to speak, for the last... Well, not in your case, because you're not that old, but in my case, I've been aware of him for... at least 45 years.
Yeah.
And to see him now, and he's not really that old, is he?
No,
he's 73?
Is he even 70?
Am I prematurely aging him or something?
Let's
possibly.
Have a look. Let's get our facts. Phil Collins, 71.
Okay, yeah. I aged him a bit. But even so, that's still relatively young for someone who is, let's say, financially comfortable.
Yeah.
So, it's sad to see someone's demise in that respect.
Yeah. I'm just glad I caught him.
Yeah.
Caught
him all. You just got that last tour under your belt.
Yeah. It was certainly interesting to hear so many of the songs pitched down, over the whole tone, actually. They had a new character about them.
Was that
cool.
Just that you can't reach?
Yeah, just a vocal range thing. I think it might have been both halves of Home by the Sea that took on quite a new thing, because they're kind of a spooky song, Home by the Seas, and Lower, it felt darker. It was interesting. Mm.
So you haven't told us about how the drone-a-thon or the drone-in or the drone session went at the Modular Caf last week.
You know why I haven't told you about it?
No.
Because I didn't go.
Okay.
It's absolutely gutting. I had to do some remote records for work for some people in Australia. So I was at home from sort of 8 till 1 in the morning recording them. I couldn't go. Really, really annoying, because I was going to bring both the Bastel Castles and have the triple castle off with David's other half. Nightmare.
Well, I can't help you because I didn't go either.
No. There is videographic footage, and I think there's audio as well. I'm at some point going to attempt to stitch something together, hopefully for YouTube or something.
So it's next month's session.
Yes.
Should I call it a session? Meet.
All of the things. There is a date, which I will go and find, and it is back to... It better be back to the normal format. Ian wants to hijack one to have a big old meeting about the Q121 project.
Okay, but hopefully not next month.
So the next one is Wednesday the 20th.
Okay.
And we may even have one. Yeah, we've got one more booked in after that. Let me show you. I've done all the web address forwarding as well. So now you can go to modcaf.org, modcaf.org.uk, the Modular Cafe Aldershot, and modcaf.com if you want. This is it at the moment. Let me spin that around.
Okay.
So it will, if you click the thing, it takes you to our link tree, so you can find everything. So it's functional for now, but what I would like, apart from a nice pretty website, is for those that have successfully escaped social media, is a calendar of events that we can keep up to date, as well as a really nice sexy gallery.
Is there any contact details, or there's no calendar at the moment?
We have I think our contact details are on there if you click the thing. Yeah, so you've got our email address on there, as well as the Facebook page that you can get to.
A calendar would be really handy.
It would be great.
What would be also handy, mm-hmm. possibly, would be some little cards like the Rack Addicts ones. I keep telling various punters in the store about the Modular Cafe, and they're very interested, and I've got nothing to give them. I need something to...
If I can convince the... I don't think it'll take that much convincing, because I'm the only one with access to the cash. Anyway, if I can say, hey, can we spend some cash on these... then I'll get you a stack, and I'll probably have to borrow you for your printer's details.
Yes, we can sort that out. In fact, if you go through me, you most probably get the same rates that I did.
That would be amazing.
I mean, I most probably got too many. That was 2,000. Mm. But there's no real... There is a sort of economy of scale, but not a lot, because nowadays everything, well, certainly at that company, everything is digitally pressed.
Yeah.
So there's no setup or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of difference between having 500 and 1,000 done. It's not there is a certain amount, but it's not like old school printing where the more you did, the more economical it got. The large presses, you'd only set up for runs of tens of thousands.
Gotcha. So there's progress. It's just slow.
Yeah. Well, everyone's got busy lives and jobs and careers and et cetera, to get on with.
Right. I had one more thing about my week, which is Wingy Mark II arrived. I've had a play. And at the moment, it feels like sort of rings in a box with permanently putting something into the input. And I need to get both types of MIDI adapter, because I don't know which one it needs, you know, the 3.5 mil Dubreries to play with MIDI and such. I think the attraction for me is definitely going to be playing things into it, which obviously means having the microphones live rather than going line in. And with the two octave, or the two keyboards of an octave each on it, of course, each little click of the button will be registered through the microphones, which can be cool, but if you want to silently select a chord, of course, you'll need a MIDI controller. So I'll use the key step, just need an adapter, which I might have somewhere. I'll just have to do some digging. But once I've had a bit more of a play, I might actually bring it in. We can plug it in and do some stuff. And I need to play the guitar through it, see how that goes as well. So it's neat. Feels great. Tiny little thing, aluminium enclosure. So it's really bright silver aluminium with white printing on it, so you can't quite see it, which is annoying, but also it looks cool. So
it's a bit like when people choose to print black on black.
Yeah, it's that same deal. This is a little bit more readable than that, but there we are. So that's my week, and we've got to get into some bits of news, and this one's quite cool actually, and we are big fans of this particular product, not that we've met one, the Analog Solutions Colossus. You know the chap.
Yes.
The big boy, the big lab equipment bit of furniture for £24,000 or whatever it is. They have released a slim version, which is quite interesting, given that what's the last slim thing? Imagine that the Modal Argon with its little slim version, and the Hydrosynth, there's a slim version of that, kind of, isn't there? But this is the biggest synth you've probably ever seen. Now, slim down.
When you say slim, how slim are we talking?
So instead of the floor-standing thing, this is just a vertical bit. Assuming you had a beefy enough wall, you could probably wall-hang the thing. Imagine a Dope for Dark Energy desktop unit.
Yeah.
Just a really big one of those. So it's got big old wooden surrounds, has all the stuff, and potentially some secret new things. But all the stuff of the original, just in a big old freestanding, desk-standing or wall-mountable slab like that.
Oh, yes. Was it just sat on... So it's like a...
Sat on a table,
it's
this
like
one.
A dresser, the top end of a dresser unit or something like that.
Yeah. But they said they sort of developed this one because there was so much demand for the original, which is kind of surprising and amazing that they sold loads and had to do multiple runs and did different colours of it.
Okay, super cool. Let me have it. What's the damage on this new one?
I don't know. They haven't told us because it's a bit of a sneak preview at the moment.
I still think it looks expensive.
Most likely. I'm going to guess sort of 20,000.
Only 20,000.
Yeah, bargain. Let's see if there's anything on the website. Not on the website. Let's see what's on there for K-Bouquet. Ooh, what we've got is a Facebook post from yesterday, the 28th of March. Yesterday, the 28th of March. Instead of Tuesday, it's the 8th day of the week, yesterday. There's a picture called Colossus Variations. So maybe they're releasing a few different ones for different ergonomical situations. Let me move my laptop around again so you can see, Pete. Floor standing one on the top left. The one I was just speaking about on the middle left. And then on the right,
there's a
really tall one. So what have they... Is that a double?
Yes,
it is. That's a double Colossus.
Yes.
Ooh. So maybe they're teasing us. Maybe they're actually making these or have made these. But that's super cool.
Occurs to me that the new configuration, let's say the desktop wall-hanging one, isn't a lot different to the original. So I can't say it's going to be that much cheaper.
It would just come down to how much the furniture portion would cost them to do. Now, what I've just noticed... comparing the one I just described to the original, is potentially it's designed so that this new thing they've announced can stack on top of your original Colossus for expandability later, because it looks like up to here
is the original.
Yeah, and then we've just got that
on top.
Mm-hmm. Oh my.
So it's more of an expansion unit possibly than an alternative. I would imagine it operates standalone as well.
Most likely.
Just for those real greedy people.
Well, how many oscillators?
And they were 3340 chips.
They were, and I remember when we first heard about it, we were a little disappointed that they were just 3340 chips and nothing more exciting. Oh yeah, actually, that the double Colossus is now the main picture if you go into colossus-synth.com. Oh, here we go.
Right.
Go to colossus-synth.com and you've got a variance. So, let me upgrade. Ooh, upgrades. Ooh. Okay. This is Colossus Classic.
This is the one for £26,000.
Yeah. Just since I've read past them, 1,585 millimeters wide, 700 millimeters deep, and 655 millimeters high, and weighing in too big to fit on the scales. They haven't weighed one. That's quite funny. Apparently, Hans Zimmer has one. Come on, just how many oscillators has it got? 12.
12.
12. There we go.
More.
And then new. The AS200 Colossus Slim, a space-saving version of the original Colossus Classic, ideal for those with a little less spare studio space or perhaps with very restricted access for installation. Narrow doorways and such, I assume. The AS200 comprises very little to obtain its smaller footprint, over 50% smaller. The unit is a little taller than the Classic. It takes some of the features found in the Classic's horizontal console and flips them vertical. This synth is available to order now. Delivery time is 2 to 3 months.
So, built to order then?
Yes, indeed. We have more mixer inputs, fully independent pin matrices, lower price tag, indeed. And it doesn't have... Well, the pin matrices are smaller and it doesn't have the touch keyboards. You can add a CRT oscilloscope for an extra £500 and VAT.
Mm. Where the hell would the rest of the... If you put a CRT, where's that going to go? Because the tube is going to be long.
Case is deep enough for it to fit somehow.
They're only small screens.
They're 700 millimeters deep, the synth. So
yeah, that's quite deep.
Yeah, so it'll just fit because it's such a chonker.
What's the preference for a CRT over a LCD?
Maybe it's a refresh rate
quite
thing.
Possibly. I don't know.
Mm. No, neither do I. Yes, so the double system, the Colossus Slim, has been designed to elegantly stack on top of a Colossus Classic for a grand double height system. My question is, the original is kind of, you know, sit at it in a nice studio chair and you can wheel around and probably reach it all. If you have the double one and you leave the base unit at the same height, because that makes sense, even if you're standing up, it might be quite tricky to reach a lot of it.
You'll have to get some steps.
Install one of those rolling library ladder things.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
You can give a kickoff and slide down to the appropriate part of the control surface.
Yeah, you've just
to
been tweaking oscillator 24 and you need to go and find oscillator 8 on the opposite corner or something.
Is there a colour choice?
They've done a black one as well. I assume those are the choices. The white, well, it's kind of, no, it's not an eggshell white, it's just normal white. And then the black one would be the other option. Just look at it. Hilarious. But what a cool machine. I'd love to meet one day.
Yeah, it'd be great to have a little play with, but I don't have any yearnings for those sort of things.
No, it's like sort of the classic days of the ARP 2500 where they were bought by universities and studios and things.
Yeah, well, you could imagine maybe possibly some universities have bought these ones.
Mm. Ooh, the black one is limited edition, in fact, so maybe they're not as easy to do. Interestingly, the wait time for the Classic Colossus is 2 to 4 weeks for only £27,500. It's gone up a little bit in price, it seems. And yeah, you can have your scope in the horizontal or the vertical panel, wherever you like it. Although if it's LCD, I think it can go in the horizontal. The CRT probably can't. What a machine. Anyway, we've ranted about it for long enough, and you know it. But it's cool. Go to colossus-synth.com just to stare at it. I wish you had one. Okay. On a similar-ish note, given the vintage style of that machine, it's Behringer time again! They have unveiled pictures of their VCS3 clone, potentially made with advice from, / plans, liberated from, one of the friends of the modcaf. We don't really know, because I haven't spoken to him for a while. But here it is. Certainly looks the bee's knees, business.
And is that their prototype we're looking at?
Yes, it is.
They've been quite faithful with the layout, haven't they? Is that real wood at the sides?
Maybe.
I don't suppose there's a price for that, or projected price. I know it's difficult in these days of this ever-increasing inflation that seems to be hitting us constantly.
Oh, no. So they've teased us at the bottom of this article and saying that the original cost only £330. Which, adjusted for inflation, is about £5,500 these days. So the inflation calculator says.
Yeah, but they trade for way more. Aren't they about 15 now, if you can find one?
Oh, probably. Yeah, wouldn't want to know. But there we go. Progress on that, and another one that I do definitely want to have a play with. Another bit of news. Sputnik Modular released a new module, and there is a demo from DivKid, which, of course, you need to go and watch. But I thought Sputnik had died. Did you hear about that? Or is it just me making things up?
I personally hadn't heard anything in that respect, but who knows? There's certainly modular builders that have ceased building, let's say. I mean, obviously one notable one would be Swamen.
Yes.
But there are several others that have ceased trading or stopped producing modules or moved away from module production and gone into different configurations.
The article has answered this for me under new ownership. So the company was sold, it seems, or something to that nature. Either way, there's the variable waveform generator, Buchler-inspired, as a lot of the Sputnik stuff always has been. Four outputs, square, sine, saw, and triangle with wave shaping each. It looks cool. And of course, the DivKid demo is thorough and musical, so you've got to go check that one out. that is the end of synth news. That will probably do, because I've vaguely got some stuff to talk about on this one. It is time, of course, for the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation that we still need a jingle for. So, the support act at that Aurora gig that I went to was Metason. 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 An artist from, he frantically Googles, Norway. That makes sense, because he was touring with another Norwegian artist. Solo venture with a good backing band. Just some good, honest synth pop, I would say. But one thing that's really can't remember it happening before is going to a show, actually being there for the support act and going, oh yeah, that's a great band. I think I'll go look them up and enjoy them. It's never happened to me before. But it did this time. Has that happened to you before? Have you discovered bands in that manner?
Possibly, but I can't remember. I don't really go to see bands anymore. I'm a bit long in the tooth for that sort of thing.
Do you remember at all from back in day?
Having a thought, let me think very carefully. There must have been someone possibly... I mean, yes, I've definitely been to gigs where the support act was better than the main act. Mm-hmm. But I can't really remember any particular details.
Mm, fair enough. Well, it's a first for me, and it's amazing. When we were seeing Don Broco, both of the support acts on the two times that we saw them were so awful. When we Googled them, we said, nah, we're just going to turn up late so we can be sure that they'll be off stage and we won't have to be subjected to the awful noise that they're going to be making. But here we are. I'm pleased. I would recommend you go find the songs Come Cry and Devotion. Very good tunes, if you like your synth pop. Pete, what are you going to mecha-rend today? Is it a YouTube channel?
Yes, it is definitely a YouTube channel. New to my subscription list, something that popped up. I thought it was entertaining and worth a watch if you haven't got anything better to do than watch YouTube. Anyway, the channel is called Nutty History, and basically I shall read their about. Welcome to Nutty History, the history channel that will blow your mind. We are all about wacky, crazy, weird, and the extremely nutty parts of history you didn't know about. Our mission is to make learning history exciting for all age groups.
Nice one. It sounds potentially horrible histories kind of vibe.
Yes, I think it's got that sort of flavour, but I get the impression with the narrators that it's a US-based channel. So there is things like, what was pregnancy like during World War One? Brutal things that were normal for China's Ma Zedong. Creepy things that were normal in the Middle Ages.
Oh yeah, I imagine there'd be a lot of good medieval stuff.
Weird things that you didn't know about Catherine the Great. I won't repeat any of the rumours. Again, another pregnancy one, what was pregnancy like in ancient Greece? Anyway, these go on and on and on, and there is numerous videos. They all run for approximately 8 to 10 minutes. Give it a go. So that's nice my one. Multimedia recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel Nutty History.
Eccellente. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to our little podcast. Thank you, as always, again, and many more times, and thank you so much. And I'm rambling weirdly because, I don't know, I'm a bit confused. It happens sometimes. We'll catch you next week, I assume. Farewell.